I'm going to talk about the Yosef story. I don't know why, but I have a certain fascination with the Yosef story. This is the third year of the Beyum B'Tanach, where I'm speaking about the Yosef story, about different aspects of it. And I asked myself, why do I keep coming back to the Yosef story? Why is it so fascinating? And I think there are a number of different reasons. First of all, in terms of the simple human drama, it's just a very, very profound and complex story. In addition, there's a very, very important ethical message that is underlying the entire story. But maybe the most important is the historical significance. When we talk about the Yosef story, we always talk about Masa Avot Simon Labanim, that things that happen to the fathers are precursors of what will happen to their children. And this is certainly true when it comes to the Yosef story. For sure, the Yosef story brought about Golat Mitzrayim, the Egyptian exile. But Chazal look at the Yosef story also as maybe the point in which the kingdom was divided between Malchut Yisrael and Malchut Yehuda. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kufchaf, it's not on your Daf. B'Shechem machru echav et Yosef, B'Shechem nechleka Malchut Beit David. It was in Shechem that the brothers sold Yosef, and it was in Shechem that the kingdom was divided. In other words, that division, or the lack of ability to be unified, which caused problems and eventually led to the Chorban Bayis Rishon, it starts with the Yosef story. Regarding Haman, the Gemara, the Medrash says, when it says, V'amelech v'aman yashvu l'shtot, that they went and had a party, so it goes back to the story of Yosef Ve'echav, after they sold him, after they threw him into the bar, Vayeshu Vayochlu. So it connects the two things. Was there division among the people in Shushan? When Haman says, Yeshno Amecha Mefuzar Muforad, and that division, did it lead to the terrible decree of Haman to destroy the entire Jewish people? Was maybe the way that they overcome that by Yesh Knoset Kol Yudim V'Tzum Olai to unify the people together? But the problem of division and disunity of the people, it always goes back to Yosef, the brothers selling Yosef. When we talk about the Asar HaHulgei Malchus, you go back to the Yosef story. Why did they deserve to be killed? And of course the story and the piyut that we say at Yom Kippur goes back to the Yosef story. It goes back to Chorban Bayis Sheni. And maybe most relevant is what's going on today. The divisions that we have within Am Yisrael, where everybody looks at maybe the other side as an enemy because they have certain ideological positions, and therefore they can't consider somebody who thinks differently as a brother. And there's so much hate and that's being expressed by the language of our leaders. Does that all go back to the Yosef story, and how do we overcome that? And what does that mean? Is it bringing us closer to the Geula, or is it bringing us further away? It all goes back to the Yosef story. There's a very big challenge when one wants to give a share on the Yosef story. And the challenge is that we all know the story. From when we were young children, we know the story. We know the story backwards and forwards. And it's hard to all of a sudden present some new narrative, a new picture, a new way of looking at things when things are so familiar to us. But on the other hand, maybe when things are so familiar to us, maybe we really haven't reflected on it deeply. And maybe the superficial understanding of the story that we had since we were little children, maybe it doesn't really work if we go and examine the story in a much deeper way. I'm going to start with a number of different questions, and I'm going to be focusing mainly on what was Yosef's plan. The topic is rehabilitation or revenge. But what exactly was Yosef trying to do when he meets the brothers? We're talking about when the brothers come. From that point on, Yosef does a number of different things, which some of them are puzzling. And if we want to try to get into his head and to understand what he was trying to do, then we have to ask certain, I think, very, very probing questions. I think the first question is, why was Yosef accused of spying? And what did they do that all of a sudden made them be suspect of being spies? Just to quote the Ramban, Vayomer, again, it's not on your source sheet, Vayomer lehem raglimatem, ha'alila hazot, this accusation, yistarech liyot botam, there must have been some kind of a reason. Ki ma'asu liyot omer lam kacha, what did they do that all of a sudden made them suspect of being spies? V'chol ha'aretz ba'o elav, everybody was coming to buy food in Mitzrayim. V'heim b'toch haba'im, and he quotes the pasuk that they came b'toch haba'im. So why were they singled out and why were they charged and accused of being spies? What sense does it make? That's the Rabban's question. That's our first question. What exactly is behind the accusation of spies? A second question. When he accuses them of spies, he says, okay, you say your brothers, I say your spies, fine. Bizoti bachenu. We're going to test it. We're going to find out what the truth is. And how are they going to test it? We're going to send one of you back, and he's going to bring back your younger brother, and then I know that everything is fine. Then I know that you were telling the truth. How exactly was that going to verify whether they were telling the truth or not? How will he know that that additional person was a brother? Maybe it was a younger spy. He has 10 people here who claim that they're brothers, and he interrogates them all, and he's not able to verify whether they're spies or whether they're brothers. So you know what? We'll bring number 11, and that will solve everything. What sense does that make? The Akedah Sitzak that you have in front of you. Uma kivein Yosef shetiyeh kavanato itzlachi ba'omro bezoti bachenu. How is this going to test? How is it going to verify? Chei paron teitzu mizekim bevo achichem akaton heina. Uma bechina shel klum. How is this going to test anything? V'chi b'shvil sheyelem ach katan yachtelu miyot raglim. First of all, who says that people that are spies can't be brothers? They'll bring a yard of the brother. Okay, they have a family of spies. So what's the, we know Yosef because we know that he's a brother, and we know why he wants to bring Binyamin. But at least the superficial story of him being Mishnah Lamelech and accusing him of spies has to be coherent with his demand that they bring their younger brother, and that will verify. Bezoti b'chein. Okay, but that's what he says. And then he says, you all stay here, and shechu echad mikem, one of you will go out and bring your younger brother. And then for 3 days, nobody goes. Why didn't anybody go? They all stay locked in prison, and he says, shechu echad mikem, go. Nobody goes, nobody moves. Why did nobody go? He comes after 3 days. And then he says, et elokim ani yarei, and he changes the plan. And he says, you know what? All of you go back. One will stay here. All of you will go back and you'll bring your younger brother. Why did things change after 3 days? What changed? What happened during those 3 days? And why did he change his plan? And one indication of the change in plan is an interesting word. Originally he says, v'zoti b'chein. After 3 days, he says, "V'ye amnu divrechem." Is there a difference between tibachenu and ye amnu divrechem? It's different words. He doesn't repeat the same word. Is there a difference? Why does he use a different term? Okay, that goes to, you know, what actually happened and how was there a change of plan? What does all this mean? And another thing that shows that things have really changed after the 3 days is after the 3 days, they say, "Aval ashemim anachnu al achinu asherainu b'tzrat nafsho b'tchanu aleinu v'lo shamanu." After the 3 days, not when they were put into the prison and accused of being spies. At that point, they should have said, "But we're guilty. We're guilty because we didn't pay attention to our brother who cried out to us and he pleaded to us and we ignored him." Why did they say that only after 3 days? When he says, "You could all go back except for one," he made the deal much better. Till then he said, you're all stuck here, shalchu echad bikem. Now he says, you know what, you can all go back, one will stay here, and all of a sudden they say, avol hashemim anachnu. What happened after 3 days? That all of a sudden it dawned on them that there was a problem, and that they were guilty, and maybe this is something that God is doing to them. And I'm going to ask one other question that is not relevant to this particular part of the story, but it is relevant to what I want to develop. And when they come back the second time, and they come back with Binyamin, And then they're sent to leave, and the gavia, the cup, is planted in the sack of Binyamin, and they're once again caught and accused, and Binyamin is supposed to be taken as an eved, and everybody else is supposed to leave. So the first suggestion that they make is, Hinenu lecha avadim, gam anachnu gam asher nitza gavia biyado. Don't take Binyamin, we'll all be slaves. How is that going to solve the problem? They know that Yaakov is waiting for Binyamin to come back. I understand plan B when Yehuda comes and says, okay, I'm willing to sit as a slave instead of him, but let Binyamin go back. How will it solve anything when they say, Hinenu lecha avadim, gam anachnu gam asher nitza gavia biyado? We'll all be slaves. How will that help? Okay, I think by that whole list of questions, what I want to indicate is that there's something in the story that maybe we don't understand. Of course, one could attempt to give local answers to each one of these questions. What I want to try to do is an attempt to a more comprehensive answer, but first, maybe to see what the Mefarshim say about the questions. There are some very, very, I think, original and imaginative things that Mefarshim say in order to answer some of these questions, but I found nobody who dealt with them all. Rashi, of course, why were they accused of being spies? So Rashi says because they came b'toch haba'im, they didn't come with everybody else, but each brother went in from a different sha'ar. Oh, okay, that looks very, very suspicious. Okay, so, you know, if you were brothers, why didn't you come in together? Everybody came in with some other sha'ar, very, very suspicious. Okay, so that's what Rashi says. He doesn't deal with the other questions directly. The Bechor Shor, in the source number two, Elabezot Tibachenu, he explains what will be the test of them bringing back another brother. Im Tavio To Ach Shatem Omrim, if you bring that brother that you claim you have, in other words, I'm going to check part of your story. You know, is it total fabrication? If part of your story is right, then I have a reason to believe the entire story. In other words, if you bring back a brother, then you're right. It's possible that brothers will be spies. But if you made up that story and you really do have a brother, so then I'll believe your version of what happened, and I won't accuse you of being spies. In other words, it's not going to be a very good test. But nevertheless, he says, how do we know that it's a brother? V'nir sheshalahem inyano v'tarosha binyamin. They asked him to describe him. What does he look like? How tall he is? What color hair? What eyes do he have? Does he have dimples? Doesn't he have dimples? They asked him a lot of questions to describe how he looks. Shelo yisurim zlo yikirenu v'yavil l'fanav adam acher. So that they wouldn't be able to bring somebody else who matches that description. Okay, so the Bechor Shor explains b'zoti b'cheinu, but doesn't deal with the other questions. Let's go on to the Akedat Yitzchak. Vayasofo tamal mishbar, he put them in, basically, he locked them up. Kedeshe kablu aleh mashiyom alehem, in order to force them to accept what he demanded. The sof shol shayamim. Kivchiru abat rabmito, in other words, a plan. The first plan was in order they should accept the second plan. He knew they wouldn't accept the first plan. So what he did was he made a harsh plan in order for that 3 days later they'll accept the more lenient plan. So it was all planned out that he'll change his plan after 3 days. After 3 days he'll say, you know what, I fear God, I'll let you all go back except for one. That way you'll be able to bring back enough food for your family. And I'm trying to be ethical and to try to do the right thing. I don't want you or your family to be hurt by the fact that I'm making the accusation. And also, that way, eventually, we'll have your brother come as well. The reason that all of a sudden they said Avashim Anachnu is because of this person who's not our relative, who doesn't know us, we're not pleading, we're not crying, he has compassion for us. But we, in a similar situation, didn't have compassion on our brother. When he was pleading and crying, and he was our brother. And he didn't have and we didn't have any compassion on him. So it was only after Yosef showed compassion for the plight of the brothers, only at that point he said, Aval Hashem Menachem. So according to the Bechor Shor, according to Akeis Yitzchak, we understand what the 3 days are. And we understand why only afterwards he says, Aval Hashem Menachem. But we don't have a solution for the other questions. Let's go on to the Alshech. They're going to go through a very difficult interrogation. And that way they're going to eventually break. However, the brothers, they're hardened. They're older. They're not bending to the interrogation. But if you bring your younger brother, so I'll be able to interrogate him and I'll be able to get to the truth. I'm interrogating you, it's not working. Ach bezot tibachenu bevoachichem akaton. Ki hu b'shetzef kesef yisurim kalim yagidu li ma'amaseichem. He's younger, he's not so hardened. I'll be able to break him. Bofen ki avchana kashrutechem im kenim om raglim tluya bevoachichem akaton. Ki na'ar v'rachu lisbol yisurim. So how will I be able to verify? You bring your brother and I'll interrogate him. And that's how I'll find out whether you're spies or whether you're really brothers. The problem was they disagreed. They didn't want to go. Nobody left. I see that nobody's willing to go. That's very, very suspicious. I imagine that you're spies. You're afraid to have your younger brother come because you know that I'm going to interrogate him and I'm going to break him. You know what? I'll be willing to go by no interrogation. Bring him. I won't interrogate. I fear God. I'm not afraid of you. I think you're spies, it's very, very suspicious, but nevertheless, bring your brother, I won't interrogate him, fine. In other words, they refused to go because they didn't want the brother to be interrogated, at least according to Yosef's accusation. Can he achas aleichem v'atem lo chastem? And then he says, so bring him, and the amnu d'vrechem, and I'll believe you without interrogating him. It was the difference between tibachenu and the amnu is tibachenu, I'm going to check it. I'm going to interrogate, I'm going to force him, and I'm going to try to find out what the truth is. But instead, just bring him the amnu d'vrechem. No interrogation, I'll believe it without doing anything. Ki lo echkor ve'edrosh oto lavchin d'vrechem ki im v'yamnu d'vrechem. Kim yara minetchem, I'll believe you, I'll trust you, even though it's not going to be very convincing. Ki omar shekasher hayat tzedek ve'emet asher amartem yesh lechem ach katon. So probably the entire story is true, what we saw before in the Bechor Shor. Va'atava zot lo shechshov shekach hu amet. I'm not going to really believe, I'm not going to be convinced by this. Rak kadesh lo tamutu, I don't want you to die, I don't want your family to die. V'zeu yamnu d'rechem lo tamutu, v'az samchu al heder shela lekatan v'yasu kein. So they agreed to the second plan, but they didn't agree to the first. So the Al-Sheikh explains what Bezoti Bachenu means after interrogation. He explains Shulchan Chamikem, why nobody went. They refused. He explains what happened after the 3 days. And he explains the difference between Tibachenu and Yamdu. Okay, but he doesn't deal with the other questions that we raised. The Malbim also deals with a lot of the questions, but not all. And also gives a very interesting approach. Shechumi kemechad. First of all, he says it doesn't mean that one of you should go. It means send an Egyptian to go and to bring the brother, and that way they wouldn't be able to bring a spy. Hinei ena pershi shechu echam min achim laviat acheim. Shebezelo yibar shum davar. They'll bring a person. They'll bring whoever they want. It won't prove anything. Shelo yuchlu lavi nahar acher. V'lo mashu achichem akatan. Rak haperush shehem kulam yisharu po beveit ha'asurim. you'll all stay in prison, you'll all stay locked up, and we'll send an Egyptian to bring your brother. They didn't agree. So it's not clear, according to the Mamma, if they didn't agree, so what? Why didn't he send an Egyptian to bring the alleged brother? But they didn't agree, and therefore they had to change the plan. Why would that stop the mission of HaMelech? V'hem lo tratzu b'v'china zo, ki yadu sheYaakov lo yishlach b'yamim aydei yish mitzri. V'yom alem Yosef yom alem yishlach b'yamim aydei yish mitzri. Okay, we'll change the plan. V'tzuro lo omar, im haya b'china al yadei ofen harishon, haya muvurar emet, tibachenu, it would have been clear. We would have been able to verify absolutely whether it was true or not. K'mo shekatuv v'yibachanu divrechem. You claim that it's not going to work. You claim your father won't send him. I can't keep you in prison because of a doubt. We'll change the plan. It won't be tibachanu devrechem, but it'll be a lower level of verification. If you all go up, maybe you'll bring somebody else, it's possible. V'adayin yishe'er chshar aleichem, mikom akom yivarer al panim k'zat. V'yamnu divrechem, hagam shlo yibachanu divrechem, kamo shekatavti lemala, yamnu al kol panim mienze shlo tamutu, it'll be enough verification that you won't have to be killed. V'yasu gam kin risono lomar shiaskim molze. Okay, so according to the Malbim, we understand what tibachenu meant. Sending somebody else to bring the brother, not them going back and bringing somebody else. Shechu achad mekem meant not that they should go, but some Egyptians should go instead, and they refused and they said it won't work because Yaakov will never agree. We understand what happened after the 3 days and why the plan was changed, and we understand Dun Pin Tibachenu and Veye Amdu. But as I mentioned before, I want to suggest a comprehensive approach, which will, I think, deal with all the issues, but I think also touch on something which, I feel is very, very a profound part of what the story really is, which I think the Mefarshim that we mentioned till now are missing. The Sfarnu hit on it, but the Mefarshim that we mentioned till now are missing. But before I get to it, I want to point out something. If you take a look at the parsha that we're dealing with, Perek Mem Beis in Bereishis, Perek Mem Dalet. Perek Mem Beis. There's a wonderful website that was started by my friend Nevetsky. I don't recall his first name right now. Well, Hillel Nevetsky, called alatorah.com. And in there he has a Torah lab. I think there's a shir given on the Torah lab, one of the shirim you may use in the Tanakh. And in the Torah lab you could put in a word and it'll tell you, how often it comes in this particular parsha, how significant that is by comparing to other places in the Torah and in Tanakh. And the word that I think comes up so often in this particular section is ach, brother. And when I put the word brother into the lab, so it comes up 20 times in this section, which is, when you compare it to other places in Bereishis, it's 4 times the amount that it appears in a comparable place in the rest of Bereishis, and 18 times compared to the rest of Tanakh. Okay, that might be significant, might not be significant. And we're talking about Achim, we're talking about Yosef, Echav. But I think it's very, very significant. And I'll point out, for instance, in Pasuk Gimel, it says, "Vayerdu achei Yosef asra lishbor bar mitzrayim," and then in Pasuk Hey it says, "Vayavo bnei Yisrael lishbor b'toch habayim kaya ra'av eretz Kanaan." You have two different pesukim which seem to be a bit repetitive. Well, one talks about achei Yosef, and the other talks about bnei Yisrael. Now, you didn't have to repeat it unless you wanted to say that it's not only that they're coming in order to in order to, part of the story is that Achei Yosef are coming to Mitzrayim and they're going to confront Yosef. And therefore it's repeated twice. Chazal certainly were very, very sensitive to the question of brotherhood. When it says Vayakei Yosef et Achav Heim Lo Ikiruhu, so Rashi brings the Medrash, Kshenimsru B'yado Hikir Sheim Achav. When Yosef, when they were all of a sudden vulnerable and Yosef had power over them, he recognized that they were his brothers and he treated them as brothers. He accused them as spies, but nevertheless he was aware of the brotherhood. The Heim Lo Ikiruhu, when he was victimized by them, they didn't recognize the brotherhood. So the issue of brotherhood is going to be very, very important. When they say Kulanu Bnei Ish Echad, and one of the people in that room is Yosef, so Rashi says Nisna Bem Ruach HaKodesh. Yes, Yosef is also a brother. They didn't know it, but they said it because like a Niba Vlo Yada Mashaniba, it's true. Kulanu Bnei Ish Echad. So that's part of the story here. I think it's clear that's part of the story. A theme of this entire parsha is brotherhood. And now I want to go to the Svarno, which is over at the end, source number 14. Sometimes when you think about stories in Tanakh or anything in Tanakh, and this question of Zot Bachenu bothered me for years. For years. It bothered me for years. What was the test? And then one day, all of a sudden, I understood the answer in such a deep way that there was a feeling of Gal Einai Vabita Niflot Mitoratecha. All the other answers, they answer the question, but they're not the real answer. The real answer is that if they're spies, they're not going to come back and endanger themselves to save another spy. But if he's a brother, he'll come back. A brother doesn't desert his brother. Of course, they don't know that it's Yosef. We know that it's Yosef. And we know that his brothers deserted him. The Svarno, Bezoti Bachenu, Shim Einchem Achim Lo Yisakena Katanet Atzmo Lavoy Machem Lesheker. A spy who knows that he's not a brother is not going to endanger himself in order to release another spy. V'yot Ben Mavet Imachem. If they are spies, they're going to be killed. They're not going to bring another spy who's not a brother to endanger himself. But if you're a brother, you're going to come, even if you're going to put yourself in danger. I think that answer really gets to the root. When they claim that they're spies and not brothers. Spies and brothers are two opposites. And if you take a look at the Klei Yakar, why were they accused of being spies? Ki alila rishrat shel meraglim atem lemarei ka'avon shechashvu et Yosef lemaragleihu. In other words, Yosef was accused of being a spy. He brought dibatam ra el aviyem. He spied on the other brothers according to them. That's why they hated him. They looked at him as an enemy. Shechashvu et Yosef lemaragel v'rachil rot ervat acheihem. Ki bevoa lehem dotaina hem chashvu sharetzol nitkarev lehem ulragel mayasu echav kedei lachzor lavi eza diba laviv alehem. They looked, part of the problem was they looked at Yosef as an enemy, as a spy, as somebody alien who was just trying to attack them. And what did they say if brothers are not spies? There might be tension between brothers, there might be rivalry between brothers, but you're brothers. And if you're brothers, you're not a spy. There's this dichotomy. Either brothers or spies. It's not, they say, you're spies. No, we're brothers. And that's exactly what Yosef wants to hear. Bezoti bachenu. If you come back, it means you're a brother. Because you're not going to desert your other brothers. But if you're a spy, then pragmatic in situations, is it worthwhile the risk, not worthwhile the risk? But a brother will not desert his brother. Once you start there, then the question of why did nobody leave? Shalchu echad mikem. And the answer is, nobody wanted to leave and go back to Eretz Canaan and leave the other brothers locked in prison. Nobody wanted to desert the other brothers. There was nobody that was willing to go. No volunteers. For 3 days, nobody agreed to leave. Not one. And Yosef come back after 3 days. And again, it's not Yosef, it's the Meshnah al-Melech. And he says, You've already proved your brothers. If you would have been spies, one would have gotten out. Whether he would have come back or not is a different question, but save at least one. He comes back after 3 days and he says, okay, I know your brothers. Never again does Yosef accuse them of being Meraglim. Not once. And he switches from Tibachenu to Yamnu Divrechem because I don't have to verify whether you're brothers. But nevertheless, I said, Chei Parom Teitzumizeh, I made a shvua on the life of Paro that you won't get out of this without bringing your brother. So everybody go back, bring food, one will stay here, and you'll come back and you bring your brother because I need your brother to come, otherwise I can't let you out. I took a shvua. So it goes from Tibachenu, which you actually have to test whether they're spies or brothers, to Yamnu Divrechem. Bring back your brother and that's fine. And at this point, when they're taken out of prison and they're sent forcibly, they don't ask for volunteers, and Shimon is put into prison, at this point, all of a sudden, they say, Avol Hashemim Anachnu, now and not before. Because all of a sudden, they relived a certain episode in their lives where they did desert another brother. All of a sudden, that picture where the family is being broken, and where they didn't act as brothers, and they were forced to separate. That picture of Dotan, where they threw Yosef in a boar, and they were willing to sell him to Mitzrayim, all of a sudden that picture was rekindled. And now only after 3 days when they're separated, till now they refuse to separate. After those 3 days when they're separated, they say, Aval Hashim, Chamim, Anachnu, and just to fast forward to the end, when they accuse Binyamin of the Gavir, they say, "Hinenu l'chavadim gam anachnu gam Hashem tzavah Gavir b'yado." From this perspective, we understand why they say, "Okay, it won't help anything regarding Yaakov, but we're not leaving Binyamin." It's not only us, B'nai Leah, but it's also B'nai Rachel. We're not leaving Binyamin here. We'll all be Avadim. How that will solve the problem, won't solve the problem at all. But we're not deserting Binyamin here. We're not leaving. Okay, now let's go back to that, when they say, Aval Hashem Anachnu, because to get to the next part of this year, I want to point out the difference between Reuven and between the brothers. The brothers say, Aval Hashem Anachnu, Alachinu Asherainu B'tzrat Nafsho B'tchanu Leilu Lo Shamanu. Right, what was their guilt? We're guilty for selling him to slavery, we're guilty because he wanted to kill him. No. Why are we guilty? We're guilty because he pleaded to us and we didn't listen. We weren't sensitive. It wasn't, you know, when they throw him to the bar, it says, Vayochlu Vayishtu. They sat and they were very, very coarse. They didn't care. Apparently he was crying when he was in the brawl. He was screaming out, save me, help me, don't leave me here. And they sat and they ate. And that's their guilt. But what does Reuven say? Reuven says, Halo amarti lechem al techetu beyelid velo shematem vegam damo hinei nidrash. They say, Hashem, they say, Al techetu bayeled. It wasn't that you were guilty because you were insensitive. Chatatem bayeled. You did something wrong to Yosef. Menafel lo shamanu, we didn't hear his cries. You didn't listen to me when I warned you. What did I tell you? Al techetu bayeled. But if you go back to that parsha, what did Reuven say? Al tishbechu dam. And then he says, it's not Balin Hatzarazot, it wasn't, you know, this is a little bit of a inconvenience. The Gam Damo Hinei Nidrash. Who knows what happened to Yosef when he was sold to Mitzrayim? Maybe he was killed, but maybe he brought about his death. The Gam Damo Hinei Nidrash. From what Reuven says, you see that he thinks he might be dead. And we brought that about. It's not just that we didn't listen to his cries and we were insensitive. Avshimu Anachnu. Al techetu bayeled velo shematem. And all this Yosef hears. Of course he goes and he cries, and all this Yosef hears. But he also hears that the brothers are not there yet, because they haven't internalized that they did something wrong to Yosef. No, they weren't sensitive. They didn't have the midah of Rachmanus. But did they do anything wrong when they sold him? No. Reuven says that, the brothers don't. Okay, we're going to go to the next act. And the next act is when he sends them, and he puts the money in their sacks. And the question is, why does he put the money in their sacks? What was the purpose of that? What was the purpose of the first time? What was the purpose of the second time, when they put the money back in their sacks, and he also plants the gaviyah there? Now, isn't that going to undermine his argument that Binyamin actually stole the gaviyah if they also see that somebody put the money back in their sacks? Why does he put the money back in their sacks? What was the point? What was that trying to do in terms of again the narrative and the story and the plan, just so that they should have more money? That was the issue. Well, we're a little bit pressed for time, so if one wants to look at the Al-Sheikh, he explains why the money was put in their sacks. Al-Sheikh in source number 6, he said basically he wanted to, you know, single out Shimon and Levi, who were the main attackers when he was sold, and so Shimon is left in prison, and he puts the money in a place where Levi is going to find it right away. Everybody else was deep in the sacks, but Levi finds it right away in order to somehow throw him off balance. Okay, that's what the Al-Sheikh says. Regarding the second time, Rabbeinu Bachai says that the first time, you know, he hid it. The second time, in front of them, you put the money in their sacks. So that wasn't a surprise, and it didn't undermine anything. If you look in the Pesukim, there's no indication that they knew that the money was placed back in their sacks. The same pasuk says, put the gaviyah, he says, put the money in. I think the reason that it was put back, if you look at the Torah, what was their reaction? What did they think when the money was put back in their sacks? So when they see the first time, when they empty the sacks in the Malon, so vayechadu libam, and they say mazal tasalu kimlanu. They first see it as an act of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second possibility, which Yaakov mentions, but they go back, ulai meshkehu, maybe it was a mistake. So bring back money, ulai meshkehu, maybe it was a mistake. The third theory, when they actually go there, so they say litgolel aleinu, it was planted there in order to accuse us, in order to take us as slaves. So it was planted there. So there are three possibilities. Is it a divine act? Is it a mistake? Or was it intentional in order to accuse us? So they come back and say, listen, we got our money back. Our money was given back, so they shouldn't be accused. But those are the three possibilities that they have. Which one is finally accepted? The person, Al Beit Paro, says, no, Elokechem, Elokei Avichem, it was an act of your God. He did chesed to you. He gave you back your money. I have the money. It's right over here. It's not your money. It's miraculous money. It's divine money. It's an act of God. Okay, the question is, why is that so important that Yosef plans this out, that they should see this as an act of God? And I think what Yosef is doing is he's setting up the stage for the next act, which is when Binyamin is accused of the gaviyah. And what is their reaction when they find the gaviyah in the bag of Binyamin? How do they react? The answer is they say, Elokim matzah tavon avadecha. They don't say, they accuse him of planting it. They don't think it was a mistake. Elokim matzat avon avadecha. In other words, you know, this is an act of God. If they accepted that narrative, that putting the money in the sack was an act of God, and the gaviyah therefore is an act of God, and it brings them to the recognition, Elokim matzat avon avadecha. In other words, if there was this tension between Yosef and the brothers, were they guilty or were they not guilty? All of a sudden, the Gavia tells them, Elokim matzat avon avadecha. And how do I know that this shows that they're guilty? Because they say, Hinenu lecha avadim, gam anachnu gam asher nitza b'gavia b'yado. If somebody has to be sold into slavery, and this is an act of divine justice, then we should be slaves as well. They're not saying this as a solution, but they're saying this as divine justice. All of a sudden, we recognize that we sinned regarding our brother, and therefore, Elokim matzat avon avadecha, hinenu lecha avadim. Now then there's coherence to what they say when they say we all have to be slaves. Because Elokim matzat avon avadecha. And we're guilty for selling our brother into slavery. Okay, what time is it? The Beis Halevi gives a different suggestion. He says the Hinenu Chavadim was just to set up the next stage. And by Hinenu Chavadim, they're trying to say the fact that you found it in Binyamin doesn't mean that he's guilty. If somebody else would have stolen it, he probably would have placed it in somebody else's bag so that he wouldn't be caught. So if there's a robber among us, the last place he would put it in his own bag. So you don't know that Binyamin is guilty, probably one of us is guilty, therefore we should all be slaves. And he's setting up the fact that since it's not necessarily Binyamin, as a matter of fact, it's probably not Binyamin, it's probably anybody else but Binyamin, therefore take me instead of Binyamin. That's how the Beit HaLevi understands Hinenu Lecha Avadim as setting up the next stage in which Yehuda is willing to offer himself as opposed to Binyamin. But as I mentioned, to me the reading of Elokim Matzat Avon Avdecha Hinenu Lecha Avadim is a much, much more convincing reading. That they're looking at this as divine justice and this is what they're caught in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caught them. And the Gam Anachnu, Gam Asher Mitzat HaGavir B'yado is interesting because it might be, for sure we have to be Avadim. You've also found it by him, so he'll be in heaven as well. But the main people that have to be Avadim is us. Not Binyamin. He's not guilty at all. But Gam Anachnu, the Gam Asher Mitzat HaGavir B'yado. When you make it a question of divine justice, then the order is the opposite. It's not Gam Asher Mitzat V'Gam Anachnu, but Gam Anachnu V'Gam Asher Mitzat V'Gavir B'yado. Okay, and I want to end this year with the next act, which is Yehuda comes up and makes this impassioned speech, and then V'lo Yachol Yosef L'tapek. Yosef can't control himself and he breaks. What made Yosef break? So there are no different suggestions. According to Abba Abinel, just like it says before, that Yosef cried, Ki nichmaru rachamav el achiv. So he had compassion for his brothers. He was clearly trying to control the situation, but nevertheless, he recognized that they were his brothers and it was difficult for him. V'lo yachol Yosef l'tapek because of compassion for his brothers. That's the way Abba Abinel reads it. It's possible that he was moved by Yehuda's willingness to sacrifice for Binyamin. V'lo yachol Yosef l'tapek. They show brotherhood not only regarding B'nai Leah and the Shvachot, but also regarding the son of Rachel, who was the only son of Rachel left after he was sold. So that could have moved him as well. According to the Ramban, lo yechol Yosef l'tapek, because all the people in the court were saying, let Binyamin go, take Yehuda, let Binyamin go. They had pity on this poor young little kid who came and the story of the old father. But I think there's a different explanation. Again, I feel this very, very deeply. And again, when you put this, the speech of Yehuda in the lab, you see a very, very interesting thing, and that all of a sudden there's a shift. The word Ach appears 6 times. The word Av appears 14 times. Okay, which is 6 times the amount that appears in Bereishis and 16 times the amount that appears in Tanakh. Okay, that's fun also. But all of a sudden there's a shift. There's a shift from Ach to Av. And with all Yosef's focus on his brothers and trying to bring about in them an awareness of the brotherhood, an awareness how they did him wrong. Did Yosef perhaps forget about Yaakov? Again, Ramban asked the question in his way, the Ramban gives his answer, but did Yosef perhaps forget Yaakov, what Yaakov was going through? Again, Yehuda doesn't know that Yosef is his brother. But his appeal, basically, is an appeal because of what his father is going through. And nowhere in the previous discussions did the brothers talk about what their old father was going through. Not until this point. And I think the appeal based on compassion for Yaakov is what made Yosef break. And how do I know that's true? How do I know that's true? Because there's something that doesn't make any sense when you continue in the parasha. And then Yosef tells his brothers, Ha'od Avichai. Ha'od Avichai. What does Ha'od Avichai mean? He asked them when they first came down. He said, yes, our father's alive. They didn't have telephones in those days. There was no way that they should have any information that they didn't have before. What are they saying, Ha'od Avichai? So, I mean, I grew up, there are different answers to this question, which we're not going to go through, but I grew up on a famous Beis Halevi that works off a medrash that says, Oilanu b'yom adin, Oilanu b'yom atochacha, and it says, you know what? When he said, Ha'od Yosef Chai, he wasn't asking them, he was yelling at them. You say that I should let you take B'nyamin's place because nafshok shor b'nafsho? What were you thinking? You're hypocritical? What were you thinking when you sold me? Then you were concerned about Yaakov? Ani Yosef, Ha'od Avichai? And then he says, Ani Yosef, Achichem, Hashem, Achadonti, and don't worry. But the first is how hypocritical you are. And that's Yom Achlom Tochacha. I grew up on that, and it really, when I heard it the first time, I shuddered how true it was. How true it was in terms of the Musar. But I think in terms of the Pshat, it's not Pshat. Pshat is, all of a sudden, they put up in a mirror what Yaakov was going through, Nafshok Shor, Nafshok, Vazavat Aviv Emet. And he cries out and he says, Ha'od Avichai, what did Yaakov go through from the time that you left Eretz Canaan with Binyamin until now? Is he still alive? Did he manage to survive? The reason that Yosef breaks is because all of a sudden, the picture of Yaakov and his suffering is all of a sudden very, very present. He's not able to free himself from that. V'lo yochol Yosef l'tapek. Ha'od Avichai, is he still alive? Maru, go back to my father. It has to be resolved. And the shift from Ach to Av. And with all the focus on brotherhood, which is important and has to be realized, and has to be realized that we're all brothers. And the story of Yosef is that sense of unity and that sense of brotherhood. How division destroys us and how brotherhood is what's going to bring about the redemption. All that's true. But in this story, it came at the expense of an old suffering father who's still mourning for his son Yosef. And I think, you know, the narrative that I tried to present, as I said, a more comprehensive approach, I think that it gives certain insights into the story that maybe didn't see before, maybe I didn't see before. And I hope that it enriches our understanding of the entire story. Thank you.